We begin the current daf in Masechta Siyuma, daf Mem Aleph. We begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara begins a new discussion, but related to the discussion on the previous daf. And that is, we had two different versions of a machlokes between Rabbi Yana and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the halachas of doing the hagrola, doing the lottery, if there's an obligation, if it's me'akiv, the drawing of the lots or not. The Gemara ultimately refuted all the opinions from all four different versions besides Rabbi Yana in the Ikedi Amri. And that is, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara brought, a Stam Sifra, which is Rabbi Yehuda, that even he holds, which generally, that it's not Me'akiv, the Big Dilovin, that's not Lefnai V'Lefnim, those that are done in Dazara, and the drawing of lots are in Dazara. However, as Rabbi Yehuda had explained his reasoning, that since it repeats it twice, Asha'Allah, Asha'Allah, tells you it's Me'akiv, and that is, we brought definitive proof from a Braisa, which said that it is Me'akiv. Hagrola is the only way, drawing the lots is the only way that's going to be kevea, which of the Seirim is going to be Lashem, and which is going to be Lazazel. Now, the Gemara introduces a new topic, but will then be related, the Gemara will ask from this Braisa that we had just ended off with on this halacha that's being stated. So the Gemara begins, Amar Rav Chisda, in hakinin misparshes. The kinin, which is a term of the peers of birds that are brought for certain types of people, of karbonis, of a yoledis, or a zava, that they have to come and they have to bring one bird for an oila and one bird as a chatas. So now Rav Chisda teaches us that the birds cannot be defined which one is going to be the oila and which one is going to be chatas, ela only in two different areas. Either oib lekiches bayim, either it can be defined what it's going to be when the owner is purchasing it. In other words, when the owner is purchasing the birds, he says, look, I'm buying that one to be the oila and that one to be the chatas. Then the kohen can't anymore change it when he's sacrificing it. And let's say he's just given the two birds. He can't say, okay, you know what, this one I'll make the chatas, this one I'll make the oila. And if he does change it, it's going to be invalid. So that's one time that it could be defined what the bird is going to be for which carbon. Oi basis kohen. Or the other time that it could be defined is when the kohen is actually sacrificing. In other words, if when the owner purchased it, he did not define which one. He just bought two birds and he says, okay, this is my pair of birds. One has to be chadas, one has to be oila, but I did not define it when I purchased it. Now, even if at a later point in time, after he had purchases, let's say it took a few days till they came to the Beis HaMikdash, the woman came, let's say, that gave birth to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, he's like a few days in, he says, you know what, I'm going to make this one oila, this one chadas. And that is what Rav Chisda is teaching, that it will not have that name and status of oil or chatas, because it has to be either when he purchases, which he didn't do when she purchased it, or when the kohen is sacrificing, and therefore the kohen could change whatever it is that the woman had made when he's sacrificing, and that's when he defines which one's the oil or which one's the chatas. So on that, Amar Rav Shimon bar Ashi says, my time with Rav Chisda, what's the reason of Rav Chisda that he says that the only time the woman, the one that's bringing the kinin, could define which one's oil or which one's chatas, either when they're purchasing, or when the kohen sacrificing, no other time in between. Dechsev, because it says a pasuk in Meyikra, there's two different pesukim that talk about those that bring the kinin, the pair of birds that they have to bring, either one for an oil, one for a chatas. So one pasuk it says v'lakcha. That's by a woman, a yeledis, that gave birth. It says v'lakcha shtei sayim ashnei b'nei yoyin. She has to bring either two turtle doves or two young pigeons. And the pasuk says echel li oil ve'echel chatas. So it says it in the context of v'lakcha, that when she purchases it, then one will be l'oila, one will be l'chatas. Whereas by Zav, it says, v'asa, and that he will do. The pasuk says, v'asa ha-koyin eso echad chatas, v'asa echad oila, that says that the koyin will do, meaning when he's sacrificing, he'll make one an oila and one the chatas. So we see, that's what Rav Shimon bar Ashi is explaining in the opinion of Chisda, that oy b'lekicha, that either at the time of purchasing, and then it can be established which one's oila, which one's chatas, oy b'asir, or when the coin's making, when he's sacrificing, that's when it can be established which one's oila, which one's chatas. But any point in time in between, it will not create the status of what it is. Even if you say, I want this to be this and that to be that, that will not be valid. It's only when it's b'shas l'kicha, when it's being purchased, or b'shas asiyah, in other words, if it wasn't established yet when it was purchased, then the other time is when the kohen is sacrificing it. Now the Gemara asks Meisave. This is why the Gemara is introducing this discussion over here, because it's going to be asking from the Braisa that we just concluded the previous halachic discussion in the previous daf. We learned that Braisa, it says, v'aso chatas. This is in the pasuk that talks about when they make the gerul l'Hashem, and one of them will have the lots for Hashem. So then it says, v'aso chatas, then you'll make that one into a karma chatas, which its bloods are brought inside the Beis HaMikdash, which the other sar sent l'azazel, mishtalech, it's sent away. So this one made into a chata. So the Braisa tells us, if one sees it in the context of the pasuk, that hagoyrul oisa chatas is that the lottery is what makes it into a chatas. Ve'in Hashem oisa chatas, however, just calling it Lashem, that will not make it into chatas. You have to do, and that's how we established in the previous daf, that the hagrola, the actual drawing of the lots, is mi'akir for the avoid, that it will not be considered a Lashem chatas without the actual drawing of the lots. So the Braisa continues, as Shayachal, because I would have thought to say that that shouldn't be the case. That actually, that the hagrola of the drawing of the lots should not be ma'akiv, and that even just calling it the name of Lashem, Chatas, should be enough. Because it would seem to be a Kal V'chomer. What's the Kal V'chomer? Uma b'makom shel kiddush hagoyrul, if regarding all the other karbanos, not these two seir, generally karbanos that are brought, we're just doing a lottery to say, let's say by Kenan, when one should be a Chatas, one should be a Oila, by drawing a lot, that does not sanctify it and create that this one's a Chatas, this one's an Oila. Rather, Kiddush Hashem, it's only going to work if one says, this one's Chatas, this one's Oila. And therefore, so the Braisa says, it would seem to be a Kal V'chomer. Makom shel kiddush hagoyrul, so in this place by the two Seirim, where even the Hagrala, which generally doesn't work, but in this case, it works even by drawing lots to say which one's a Chatas, which one's an Oila. In Adin Shei Kiddush Hashem, so all the more so, that which is even more general, that generally works, even where Hagrala doesn't work, which is designating it by name, isn't it a Kal V'chomer that here for sure it should also work, not only with the drawing of the lots, but even by just designating it by name? Tamalema, that's what the Braisa tells us, that the Pasuk teaches us, Vasohu Chatos, that in seen in the context of the Pasuk, that what will make it into Chatos, as the Pasuk had mentioned before, Hagoyrul Oisa Chatos, because that's what the Pasuk was talking about, that you have a Goyrul Hashem, the drawing of the lots makes it into Chatos, Ve'en Hashem Oisa Chatos, however, the designation of the name does not make it into Chatos. Now, the Gemara's question is based on the following idea. What it seems like from the Braisa is, that in what we're saying is that the place where the drawing of the lots is sanctifying it, so we were saying it said, in which is in our case of the two Seirim, which is done on Yom Kippurim for the drawing of the two lots. So the Braisa was saying that if not for the Gzeres HaKasev, that's saying that Vaso Chatas, I would have thought to say that Kal V'chomer, that just by saying this one's Lashem, by designating by name, and this one's Lazazel, that would work. Now, and therefore, the Gemara is assuming now that what we're saying is that the sanctification of name that should work, again, if not for the Gzeres HaKasev, we're saying at the time when the lottery is generally done, so which is not at a time when the animal is purchased or when it's sacrificed, because this is somewhere in between when they go out to the Azor on the eastern side and they're drawing the lots. So we're saying that only drawing the lots works. So the Braisa says, because I would have thought to say, if not for the Gzeres HaKasev, that there's a pasuk that tells us otherwise, I would have thought to say, oh, that for sure, if the drawing of the lots works, for sure just calling it Lashem, or calling it Lazazel, which that works by every carbon, then for sure that should work over here, with not only does Hagrala work, that even the Kriyas Shem should work. Now, what that means to say that in place of what the drawing of the lots, you would call out the name. Now, that's at a point of time, which is not when you're purchasing it, because it was done before Yom Kippur. Here we are with the two animals right here in front of us. And it's also not at the time that it's sacrificing, because that's done later. And therefore, the Gemara asks, but over here, at the time of the drawing of the lots, where you want to say that even not drawing the lots, just calling the name would have been good, had it not been the Gzeres HaKasev, but at the Lav Shas Lekichom, that's a time where you're not purchasing it, and it's not a time when you're sacrificing it, and yet we're saying that if not for the Gzeres HaKasev, it would have been established that this one would have been Lashem as a Chatas, and this would have been Lazozon sent away. But how does that work? I thought we cannot establish the status of the animal if it's not during the time of Lekicha or the time of Asiya. So then Amar Rava says, Hachikama. Now this is the way you should understand the Kal V'chomer that the Braisa was saying had we not had the Gzeres HaKasev. As follows, ma b'makom shel kiddush hagoyrul, if regarding regular karbanos brought throughout the year, where a drawing of the lots does not make this into a chatas and this one into oila, va'afilu b'shas lekicha, and that's even if you would do the drawing of the lots at the time of when it's purchased, va'afilu b'shas asiyah, or even at a time when it's being sacrificed. However, kiddush Hashem, but the name, sanctifying it by name, does work. Bishas lekichu bishas asiyah, because that's when it's generally done, as we're explaining this according to the opinion of Rav Chisda, that's what the Brice is basically saying, although it didn't say those words, but in other words, but that's how it generally works, as Rav Chisda's opinion, that it works if you're doing it at the time of lekichu bishas asiyah. And therefore the Kavul Chaimah was then Makim Shekidish HaGerul, so we'll be here by the lottery, by the two Seirim, where drawing the lots does make it sanctified, even Shalei B'Shas Lekicha V'Shalei B'Shas Asiyah, and that's even though the drawing of the lots, you're right, is not at a time of Lekicha or B'Asiyah, and still it works. So now the Kavul Chaimah was, and this is the main point, so isn't it a Kavul Chaimah that sanctifying it by name should work B'Shas Lekicha U'B'Shas Asiyah? The Kavul Chaimah wasn't as we had assumed that it should mean, oh, in place of when you're doing the lottery, then at that same time, just call out the name, because you're right. That cannot work, as Rav Chizda's opinion is. It has to be either B'Shas Lekicha, B'Shas Asiyah. But the Kavul Chaimah was that if the drawing of the lots, which is neither Lekicha or Asiyah, that works, and other Karbanas never works, the drawing of the lot, so Kol Shekin, so Kavul Chaimah, all the more so that regarding the actual calling the name, which works by other animals, when B'Shas Lekicha, B'Shas Asiyah, that for sure should work also the same by this two Seirim that you should be able to designate it by name without the lottery. Again, but however, B'Shas Lekicha, B'Shas Asiyah. And at that time, Alayma, that's what the Pasuk teaches us, Vaso Chatas, that what will make it into Chatas? Hagar Lasso Chatas, Vin Hashem Ayso Chatas. That drawing the lots, the Pasuk is telling us, makes the Chatas, and not the calling of the name. However, what's still clear, and that's why it's not a refutation of Rav Chizda's opinion, is, but it would have been telling us, without the Gzeis HaKasim, that it would have worked, B'Shas Lekicha, B'Shas Asiyah, and that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that even B'Shas Lekicha, B'Shas Asiyah, designating it by name will not work. The only way that you can create the status of this Sar as Lashem, in the case of the Kohen Gadol and B'Kippurim, is only with Hagrala, with the drawing of the lots. So the Gemara continues, again, Tashema, the Gemara says, come in here, try to bring another proof, another Braisa that seems to be not like the opinion of Chizda, that the only time you can designate this one for Chatas and this one for Yaila is at the time of purchasing or at the time of the Kohen sacrificing it. Because the Braisa says as follows, Mitame Mikdash. If someone defiled the Beis HaMikdash or sanctified things, that is, if someone went into the Beis HaMikdash in an impure state, he was tummy. That requires, as the Torah tells us, he has to bring what's called a carbon oila v'yared. Now, oila v'yared means going up and down. Now, what does that mean, a carbon oila v'yared? It means to say that there's different statuses for different types of people. Some are oila, some are high, some are yared. And that is, there's the wealthy carbon, which is an animal. Then there's dalas, the poor carbon, which is birds. And then there's dalas, which are really poor. That's a flower offering. Now, that said, in the context, the carbon oil b'yared by shvuas bitoy and shvuas kail, all the different types of oaths that a person says. But it also says in the pasuk a nefesh kisiga, which the Gemara in Masechet Shvuas learns, that's going on tumas mikdash or kedasha, that after a person became tame, he either went into the Beis HaMikdash or he ate kachim. So that requires, that's a sin that requires a kapara of a carbon oil b'yared. Now, so the Braisa says the following case. Let's say a person was an ani, he was a poor person in the state of Dallas, where he's able to bring a pair of bird offerings, one bird for chatas, one for oila. And v'hifrish mois l'kinai, and therefore he designated money, he did this sin, he was tummy, he came into the Beis HaMikdash, or he ate kachim, so he designated his monies for his pair of birds, which is his carbon of dallas. But then v'hesher, he became wealthy before he went to bring these karbanas. Now the halacha is that he has to now bring a carbon that a wealthy person would have to bring, which is one chatas behema. Now, v'yachakach, afterwards, after they became wealthy, he went and he separated the monies and he defined which ones of the money is going to go to what. And Amr, he said, elu l'chatasoy v'elu l'alasoy. Could be the person didn't know that the halacha changes when he becomes wealthy. He was poor when he did the sin. So he had set aside money. He became wealthy. Now, even after he became wealthy, he had this money set aside. Now, he said, okay, I have this amount of money. I'm going to take half. With this half, I'm going to buy a chatas bird. And with this half, I'm going to make a chatas, an oila bird, which is what the dalas carbon requires. Now, although he's not allowed to bring now a carbon ani for his obligation, because actually, as we said, the halach is he has to bring a carbon that a wealthy person would have to bring, because he became wealthy before he actually brought them. Now, the halacha is that a carbon asher is only one carbon. There's no oila that's brought with the carbon of a asher. It's rather one animal that's a chatas behema. Now, when this individual comes to Bezdin and he says that what he's coming to bring, they tell him, wait a second, you're wealthy now. You have to bring a carbon asher. So what does he do now? He has monies that were set aside, one for a chatas bird and one for an oila bird, and he can't bring birds. He has to bring an animal, but only one animal, that of a chatas. So that the Braisa tells us that Moisef, he increases from his own resources to fill up the worth of the animal, that, because obviously an animal costs more than the birds, and that's why it's for the wealthy, and that's what's called Kobin Oil B'Yari, depending on your income. Umevi Chevasi, so he adds to the money, and he brings his obligatory animal, which is the Chatas Behema, Midmei Chatasai, from the value of the Chatas. In other words, he had two monies that were from the big pile he had before that he had set aside. He separated this one's for the Chatas bird, this one's for the Oila bird. Now, that which is set aside for Chatas, although it's set aside for a bird, but it was in the category of Chatas. So let's say a bird would be $20 and the animal would be $100. So then he increases, he brings another $80 and adds it on to those $20. So that completes his $100 worth of Chatas that he has to bring. However, the Brisa tells us, however, he's not allowed to go ahead and bring an ad from the money he has at home to bring his chayva. That means, again, his chatas behema midmei losai, from the money that he had set aside the other half for the oila bird, because he can't change what he had designated, which originally had said that it's going to be an oila, and now bring a chatas from that. So that's not going to be able to be brought, and that has to be done something else with it. It could be brought as an adava. However, if he's now that he's transitioning from the bird carbon, the dollars carbon, to an animal carbon, he can only go ahead and go to the pile that he had designated as chatas for the bird and add more money now, buy an animal with that. But the oila pile, he can't use for that, because that's oila, and he can't change that, transfer from oila to chatas. Now the Gemara explains the question from this Braisa on Rav Chisda. But Vahacha, over here, what are we saying was the designation? He had monies originally set aside, and then at a later point in time, he had designated, he had specified which half is going to go for the Chatzis, which half for the Eil. Now on that, the Gemara asks, the Lav Shas Lekicha, that's not at the time that he's purchasing the Lav Shas Asihi. It's also not a time when he's bringing the carbon, yet Viktani Dekava. And yet we said clearly that the name is establishing which half of these monies is going to be for Chatas and which half is going to be for Ayla, as so much so that we said you're not allowed to transfer the status of half the money, which is for Ayla, to then add it to bring your carbon Chatas Behema. Now that's not like Rav Chisda, because whatever it is that these monies were set aside, that could be, let's say, like the Shas Lekicha. Or not like that. Let's say it would be when you're buying the birds themselves, but the point is there is monies over here. When they were set aside, quote, the Shas Lekicha, you didn't say which ones for what. And you just had the pile. It's almost having like the two birds together. And we didn't have the Shas Asiyah of the Kohen yet. Yet somewhere in the middle, at some point in time, he says half for the Chatas, half for the Oila. And we're saying, oh, so that pile of money for the Oila, you can't use for the Chatas Behema. Now the Gemara is asking, why is that? Kontra of Chizda, that's called Baini. That's the time in between the Lekicha and the Siyah. And there's no designations that happen at that point in time. So it doesn't make a difference that you had said this half for Chatas, this half for Oila. It has no validity, and therefore you should be able to use the whole pile and add it for your money that you have to bring the Chatas Behema for. So it must be not like Rav Chisda, that it is considered designation, even though it's not Shas Lekicha and Shas Asiyah. And I think Gemara answers, I'm Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes answers by saying the following thing. He says, Vitisbara, do you even think that the Braisa is correct in the way the Girsa is presented, and therefore we're asking questions on that? But rather, Rav Sheshes will demonstrate that it seems clearly that the Braisa is presented with errors, and therefore the way it has to be amended will ultimately answer that we have to amend it, and we'll be able to amend it to answer the question of Chizit to it, as he presents. He says, but Vamir Rabbi Laza Amr Bahishir, Laza said the name Rabbi in the nusach of the Braisa, in the text of the Braisa, that he said the following idea. He said that mitami mikdash usher, if the one who is defiling the Beis HaMikdash was usher, a wealthy individual, as we said that a wealthy person has to bring a chatas behema, the heavy carbon ani, and he brings the carbon of a poor person. So although the wealthy person is supposed to bring a chatas behema, he brings, let's say, the two bird offerings, one of a chatas, one of an oila. On that, Rabbi Laza said, Nei Ramayishya, that lo yatze, is not fulfilled as chiev. Now, on that is the question, how do we understand the halacha that he's saying, and therefore we're going to have to amend it, and hence if we have to amend it, then we'll say that we'll have to amend for Rav Chisda to the text of the Brayis, and that is, v'kivin d'liyatzam, if Rav Elazar's halacha is saying that a wealthy person has not fulfilled his chiv by bringing the carbon of an ani. Now, if a carbon ani doesn't work, even after the fact, even b'di'evid, the carbon of an ani will not work for a wealthy person, so then hechikava, how is it even in the first place? In other words, he's bringing the carbon ani, so he's not fulfilled his chiyuv. Now, how can you bring the carbon ani? Quote, it's not even a carbon. It's chulin, whatever it is. Because if he was wealthy, that he had designated then the oila, But he's not mechuyev in an oila at all. A wealthy person that goes into the base of Mikdash is only mechuyev chatas behemah. That oila, what is that? It's not even the oila. So how can you even call it as bringing a carbon ani, but he won't fulfill it with that, and therefore he's going to have to bring more, but it's not even a carbon ani. How does he get that designation in the first place if he only went in when he was wealthy? So therefore, Rav Sheish concludes, so what do you have to say in the text of the Braisa? You have to say that there's mistakenly quoted, and that is, regarding what is the next step when it's going, and when did this happen, is mistaken in this part, and you have to read it, that what he was saying was that this person, what we call in quote, the usher, the wealthy person, he first said, this should be for my chattas, this should be for my oila, and only then did he become wealthy. That is shikfar amamani yusai. He already had said when he was poor, that when he was establishing it, then it was fit for him because he was poor. And therefore, although he calls it as an usher, that's bringing carbon on, he's not fulfilling it, it means he was poor. And he had said, which then he was eligible for the carbon of a ani. Then he became wealthy, and then he brings a carbon ani, and that is what he's saying, then you're not coming to Yaitza, but it is a carbon ani, because when he designated it, he was eligible for the carbon ani. Now, therefore, you have to say that there was an error in the way it was quoted. It wasn't really an usher, it was a poor person who became wealthy, and then we're saying he's not going to fulfill it. So therefore the Gemara says, Achinami, here also to answer the question on Rav Chisda, you can say shekva, that it's also mistaken in the text. It's shekva omar mishas afrasha, that he had already said it from the time when he had designated it, and the time when he had separated it. In other words, just like we're saying to explain the quote of Rabbi Elazar named Rabbi Hoshea, that although we're saying usher is metami, it doesn't really mean he was a wealthy person from the beginning. Rather, he had already said the term shekva omar, he already said this. Therefore, making this a real can of for this status, that it should be one lechatas, one oila, for the status of an ani, because he actually was an ani in the beginning, and that's shekfar omar. Here also, we're saying it was to shekfar omar, and what the Braisa was saying was as follows: that if a poor person was mitami the base of mikdash, who he had designated his money for his can, and he said at the time when he was separating them, then he said eluchatasi ve'eloloilasi. And then he became wealthy. That's where we're saying that then he could add and bring, because the designation of the money is like the time when you purchase the birds. So therefore, it's not that it happened at a later point in time. Not that he had all the monies, and then later he went and separated this for chattas and this for oila. Rather, at the time when he had separated money in the first place, it is an element of shekfar amar. So again, essentially what Rav Sheish is answering is that the question was that it seemed to be in phases, that first he set aside the money, after he set aside the money, then a later point in time, then he went and said, okay, let this be for chattas and this have to be oila. And then we said, oh, now that he's wealthy and he can't bring the poor one, he can't add to the oila part, only to the chattas part. And we asked, what do you mean? That wasn't at a time when he had separated, that's only when he separated. And that the Gemara's answering, Rav Sheish is saying, no. You obviously have to see from the Braisa, although it sounds like that how we asked it, but just like for that part of Rabbi Elazar Amar Bahisha, you have to say that there's an error in the text, and it really was Shekfa Amar. There was already a previous time that it was said, because if it was a wealthy person that didn't have Shekfa Amar when he was poor, then what is it? It's not a carbon ani in the first place. How could we even call it a carbon ani? So here also, by Rav Chisda, we'll explain that it was already Shekfa Amar. This that we're saying that it was Eluchatas or Eluasi, it was when he had first separated the pile for the monies. At that time, that's like when you're purchasing the birds. Right away then is when he said, this is for Chattas and this is for Eula, and therefore, according to Rav Chisda, it's going to have the validity, and therefore you can't go ahead and increase the money for the Eula pile, only for the Chattas pile. However, the Gemara asks, on this teretz of Rav Sheish's, however, Rav Chaga Amar Ba'ishya, the Amar that he argues, and he says that a wealthy person that was metame the base of Mikdash, and he brings a carbon of ani, he says yatsa. He says, yes, you have fulfilled your chiyuv. Therefore, essentially what the Gemara's question is that, obviously, that according to his opinion, there is no error in the Braisa, because it is a legitimate halacha. And that is because, since it's valid for him, this carbon b'di'evit, so you could say that it established it to be that way. Even though he's a wealthy person, it could be a carbon ani, because after the fact, if he brings it, it's going to be yatsa. Therefore, the Gemara asks, according to Reb Chaga's opinion, we continue on to Amud Beis, Ma'ikla Meima. So therefore, you're back to the question, how can you resolve the question on Rav Chisda? Because according to him, there's no pretext to say that there is any error in the Braisa. I mean, Rav Sheshah's whole answer was based on the way Rav Elazar said in the name of Hoshia, this halacha, which that's got to be that you already said it before, because a wealthy person cannot bring a carbon of ani. He can't even make it into a carbon ani in the first place. So it must be with Shekva Am, he had already said it when he was poor, and that's how it got the status of a carbon ani. And therefore, later, that's what we're saying, that he cannot bring it like that. So therefore, for the other halacha too, it must be Shekva Amar. And therefore, it's not a difficulty on Rav Chisda. But now the Gemara is asking, according to Rav Chaga, the Braisa is correct in its text. Because yes, a wealthy person that brings a carbon ani will fulfill it, and therefore, even if he was a wealthy person from the beginning, it will have the kvias of a carbon ani. Because since if he brings it after the fact, it will be valid. Therefore, it is, and there is no shikfa amar. And therefore, back to the question of Chizda, we have the poor person that became wealthy, that case where it wasn't at the time of when he purchased it or the time when it was being sacrificed, and yet we said that it will have a kvias at that time, somewhere in between, and that's difficult according to Rav Chisda. So that the Gemara answers that loy tema, so a small emendation of the text of the Braisa, that don't say va'achkach amar. Don't say that yes, he had the pile, which is so to speak the lekicha. It's like when you're purchasing the birds and you didn't designate which ones. So it's like you're setting aside the money. Don't say that at a later point in time he said which half is for chatas, which half is for oil of the monies. Eleima, rather say va'achkach lokach v'amar, and that is, according to Rav Chaga, who we can't give the same answer that we had given for Rav Elazar and Rav Hoshea, you have to give the following answer and say that at a later point in time, he purchased and said, this one's for Chatas and this one's for Yaila. Now, like as Rashi says, that many times Tanoim could miss out words, either through they forgot or they mixed up, and even though essentially they really wanted to say V'achkach lokach v'amar, they ended up saying V'achkach amar, but really, it's not such a stretch to say that they meant to say that then later, he purchases, and then he says, so therefore that's going to be at the time of the purchasing of the birds, and therefore that, at a Shas Lekicha, even Rav Chisda agrees, that you could designate it at that point in time. Now that Digmar asks, wait a second, Lokach, are you trying to say that the answer will be that he had the money set aside, then at a later point in time he purchases the birds, and then he says, which even according to Rav Chisda, that's a time when you could designate, and then later you cannot add on to the pile of the Oila, only the pile of the Chatas, but if so, what does it mean, Maisif Umevi Chevasai? The halacha is that we said that, oh, he can add money and bring his obligation now that he's wealthy, which is a behema, from the monies of his chatas, but Mainihu, what pile are we talking about of adding monies to? It's not money anymore. The way you just resolved the question is that he purchased birds with it already, and that's a Shasakicha, that's how he resolved the Rav Chisda, but then how can you add monies to a bird that's already as a bird? Now, if you're going to say the parakle, yeah, no problem. We're able to make it into chatz, into oila, because we bought birds with it. But then when we found out that I'm a wealthy person, I can't go ahead and bring birds, so then I'm going to redeem the birds. I'm going to have them deconsecrated into chulon status. Then I'm going to add money from my own house to add on to the chatz pile. And from that, he's going to buy the animal from those monies. But that the Gemara says, you can't say that. But the halacha is about in pidyon la'if. There is no redemption for a bird that's kaddish. As the Mishnah tells him, Masechta Simnachos, on the Kuf Mabez, that la'if is birds, levain the frankincense, kli sharis, the sanctified vessels in the base of Medish, have no redemption, because the halacha of pidyon was only said regarding animals. And therefore, the question is, how can we resolve Rav Chisda in this Braisa, according to the opinion of Rav Chaga, who according to him, there is no, again, pretext to say that there's any errors in the way the Braisa was quoted. And therefore, you have a case of when you could do a designation, not at Lekicha and not at Asiyah. Now, although we tried answering that, oh, because when we said Amar, at a later point in time, meant Lokach v'Amar, but if you're purchasing birds, then you're stuck with the birds. How can you add on to the birds to then go from $20 to $100 and then buy the animal if you can't redeem the bird anyway? So Amar Papa says, no, we can maintain this teretz that we're trying to say, because it's talking about Kagan Shalokach Prey the Achas, where he purchased only one bird. So he had to buy two birds. There was monies. And from the monies, half the money went and purchased a bird from the pile of money. And now what the Tana of the Braisa is saying is as follows. E Oila Zavan, if he purchased an Oila with half the monies, so that means by default, the other half of the money is money for a Chatas. Then, in such a case, is what the Brisa was saying. In that case, was what the Brisa was saying, that you could go ahead and increase that pile that's left over, which is the Chatas pile, and then add from, let's say, $20 to $100 to buy yourself your Chatas behema. But vehai oila azla nadava, and that bird that was already purchased, which is an oila bird, then that goes for a nadava because it has no application for a wealthy person that's bringing only one chatas behema. Now, then the Brisa said, ichatas zavin, if with half the monies he had purchased one bird and the bird he was designated as a chatas, so therefore that by default designates the remainder of the money as oila money by purchasing the other half with a chatas. In such a case was what the Brisa was saying, that ein moisiv mevichevasim in me'alase. That's what it meant when it said that he cannot go ahead and increase those monies to add it and purchase his obligatory chatas behem with that. Rather, what he does is that from those monies, he brings an oila nadava from it, because again, that's oila pile, has no application for him as a wealthy individual, where he's only bringing a chatas behema. V'chai chatas, and that chatas ha'oif that he had purchased, that's azlamisa, that goes to its death because it has no application to him as a wealthy individual who is bringing a chatas behema. And in such a case, he has to bring fresh money and buy a chatas behema. However, it's not a difficulty. This brisa on Rav Chisda, according to Blazer, remember Hayashia, we explained one way because it must be that there's an error in the text and it must say that beforehand it was said. Here also it's beforehand it was said. Now, even according to Rav Chaga, we gave this answer that there was a lakach v'yamar. It was only at a later point in time, but it was at the time when he purchased. At the time of purchase, you could designate what you wanted to be, either chatas na'ila. But he only purchased one and not the other, and therefore the remainder is a pile. And that pile, if it's a chatas, and you can increase that pile, if the other half of the pile that's left over now is oila, that you cannot add. And therefore, again, there's no difficulty according to Rav Chisda, because the designation is being done at the shas of lekicha, which Rav Chisda agrees to. Now the Gemara says Gufa. It goes back to this machlokes that was quoted, related, because it was coming in the discussion of the question on Rav Chisda. Now the Gemara goes back to discuss that machlokes. Amr Blaza Amr Bhaishya, he said that Metame Mikdash Asher, if a wealthy individual was Tame and he came into the Beis HaMikdash, behavi karbonani, and he brings a carbon of a poor person, lo yatze, he has not fulfilled his chiv. Reb Chaga Amr Bhaishya, he says yatze. He says, as we said, that even a wealthy person that brings the carbon of an ani, he will fulfill it. And therefore we said that we have to come up with a new approach for the brisa, because even when he's wealthy, he can make the designation of the carbon ani, because after the fact, he will fulfill his chiv with that. Now the Gemara says Mesave. The Gemara asks on the opinion of Reb Chaga from a Mishnah Masechtas Negayim. And that is again, Reb Chaga says that a wealthy individual will fulfill his chiv after the fact, b'diavad, if he brings the two birds that an ani can only bring. So the Mishnah Negayim tells us that Mitzayra ani shehevi karban asher yatzah, a poor Mitzayra who brings the karban of a wealthy person is yatzah. Again, this is a category of Eila B'yari, depending on your income, your of that hierarchy, that's how much you have to bring. So if he brings the wealthy ones, he's yatzah. But asher shehevi karban ani lo yatzah. But the wealthy Mitzayra that brings the karban of a poor one is not yatzah. So that seems to clearly refute Reb Chaga, that we see that, yeah, poor maybe that brings wealthy could, but wealthy that brings poor cannot be Yaitzah. And Reb Chaga said that a wealthy that brings poor could be Yaitzah. So that the Gemara says, no shani hasam. The halachas by Mitzayra is different than the halachas of Tumas Mikdash Kedasha, although they're both in the category of Karban Oil of Yerid, but they're different. Dechsev, because it says in the Pasuk of Mayikra, related to Mitzayra, it says Zeis, as the Pasuk says, Zeis Tiyatayas Mitzayra. This should be the laws of Mitzayra, which means that no other laws has to be exactly as we said it, and therefore, wealthy has to bring wealthy. If you bring poor, you're not Yaitzah. However, regarding the halachas of Tumas Mikdash Kedasha, where it doesn't say Zeis, therefore, if a wealthy person that defiled the Beis HaMikdash brings a poor one, will after the fact be Yaitzah. Then the Gemara asks, Ihachi Reishanami, if the reasoning why Mitzayra is different is because it says Zeis, it has to be exactly as the Torah tells it, then even the first half of the Mishnah, which tells us that a poor Mitzayra that brings the carbon of the wealthy Mitzayra, who does more than he has to, should also not be able to fulfill his chiv because it's not exactly as Halacha tells us. Ani should also not fulfill if he brings the carbon of the Yashu. So now the Gemara answers no, because HaRabbi Rachmana Teiras. The Pasuk adds and increases that it says the words of Taira, it says Zeis Teiras, that this is the law, Zeis Tia Teiras HaMitzayra, B'yem Teiras. So therefore, Teiras means to say that there's one law for all the Mitzayran, that they all fulfill their chiv with a carbon Asher. As the Gemara says, "Vatani," like learn the Brisa that says this same exact divide, this dichotomy that although you're going to have the usher brings the ani because of Zeis will not fulfill it, but the poor one that brings the wealthy one will fulfill it because of Tyrus, and that's a ribui. As the Brisa says, it says in the pasuk Tyras that these are the laws. It sounds like that they're all in one umbrella. That's Rabbis Mitzera Ani. That comes to include that the poor Mitzera, Shehevi Karban Asher, that brings the wealthy carbon of the Mitzera, the wealthy Mitzera, that he has to fill, that they all are in the same category. Now, Yochla Fila Asher Shehevi Karban Ani. So you would think the same thing would work in reverse. They're all in the same category. So if the wealthy one brings the poor ones, he'll also fulfill it. Tamalayim is Zeus. That's what the Pasuk tells you, Zeus. No, it's coming to exclude and say in that case, the wealthy one will not fulfill his Chiev with the poor one. And therefore the Gemara says, that's different, that's by Mitzayra, and here it's by Mikdash Ukadasha. But that the Gemara asks, but V'neilef Mineh, why don't we learn the halachas of Tamish Mikdash Ukadasha from the case of Mitzayra, that a wealthy one that brings the poor ones will not fulfill it, and that will be difficult in Rav Chaga? That the Gemara answers, Midrachmanda, the Torah excludes that this halacha that we're saying, the wealthy will not fulfill it with the poor, that it's coming to exclude all other halachas of different areas, that it's only said over here by the halachas of Mitzrayim. Because the Pasuk says, v'imdal hu, if he's poor, which is exclusionary term, the hu, that's saying only regarding the Mitzrayim, that is wealthy and he brings the carbon of an ani, only there he will not be yaitzah. But other obligatory carbonas of oil of a yarid are not like that, and therefore, it's not difficult according to Reb Chaga, because in other areas, like the halachas of Tumas Mikdash Kedashav, where the wealthy person will be the Eved fulfill his chiyuv if he brings a carbon of aner and of ani, and it's only was said that the wealthy will not fulfill by Mitzayra, and you cannot learn from it because it says V'dal Hu, only this halacha applies by Mitzayra and not by all other areas of carbon oil of the Gerit. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the Masechta and the previous Mishnayos, which up until now we had done the Kohen Gadol. There were five phases of, and these were the transitions of from his Shemayin Begadim to the Dal Begadim. So we had that he did the first phase already, that he did the Karban Tamid with the Big Day Zahav, the eight garments that he wears throughout the year. Then he went and immersed himself in the mikveh, and he transitioned to the white linen garments, and he did the Vidui his first time on his par, on his bull for him and his family between the Ulam and Mizbeach. Then he went and he moved, still in the white linen garments, to the eastern part of the courtyard, where he then did the lottery, which is from the previous Mishnayos, where he drew the lot, which one's Lashem, which one's Lazazel. And that brings us to our Mishnah. So there he is, that he's on the eastern part, northeastern part of the courtyard, and he drew the lots, which one is Lashem, which one's Lazazel. Now, Kosher Lashon Shel Zahiris. He ties a thread of red wool, Bereish Seir HaMashalech, on the head of the he-goat, the one that's being sent away, that's Lazazel. And he places it that it should be facing opposite the area where it's going to be sent out from. In other words, facing the gate, which is the Shar Nikonor, which is by the eastern part of the Azar, which is that's how they're going to send him out. He goes and he puts him in that direction. Now, Velenishchat, the one that's going to be slaughtered, the other one, the one Lashem, Keneged Beis Shechitas, that he puts opposite the place where it's going to be slaughtered. And the Gemara is going to explain exactly what is that in reference to. Is that in reference to the tying of the red string, or is that in reference to the placement of where he's placing it, facing the place where it's going to be slaughtered? Anyway, so the Mishnah continues. So after he did that he drew the lots, and now he put on the string on the Lazazel, and he faced it where it is, and the one of Shechita, he also did where it's supposed to be, connected by Shechita. Then Bolo Yitzel Parishnia. Now he comes back a second time to his bull that he had already the first time done the vidui bin ulmazbech, and he leans his two hands on it and he says confession again for the second time. And this is what he said. He says, "On Hashem, please Hashem." And the girsa is a visi. I have sinned willingly. Pashati, I have sinned rebelliously. Chatasi, I have sinned inadvertently. Lefanech, in front of you. Ani uvesi, me and my household. Now, this time around, he adds on not only him and his house, but he adds on Uvnei Aaron Am Kedushecha, and the children of Aaron, your holy nation. On Hashem, please Hashem. Kaper no la voinis, la psham, la chatom. Again, that same order of voinis, psham, and chatom. Shavisi, v'shabashati, v'shachatos, l'vanecha. That I have again been Oves and Pasha and Chata in front of you. Ani uvesi, Uvnei Aaron Am Kedushecha. Kakos of Asaris, Moshe Abdecha, like it says in the Torah of Moshe, your servant. Kibayim hazeh, because on this day, Yichap aleichem, he will provide an atonement for you. Latar aschem mikol chateseichem, to purify you from all your sins. Lefnei Hashem, to tar, in front of Hashem, you should purify yourself. And therefore, like it says in the pasuk, that that's what you do on Yom Kippurim. So please, Hashem, do that for me, my family, and for all the kahanim. The people that were around that heard him say the Shem HaMafayrish when he said the Vidui, said it three times. Baruch Shem Kavod Machus Lamoed, blessed is the name of the honor of his kingdom forever and ever. That's what they said when they would hear the Shem HaMafayrish, the four letter name of Hashem. Now the Gemara asks, as we had alluded to it in the Mishnah, Iba Ilhu, they had the following question. When we said Vila Nishchat, so we understand that for the Azazel, the one that's sent away, we tie the red string on its head, then we face it in that direction where it's going to go out. Then we said what seemed to be not so clear. We said Vila Nishchat, and the one that's going to be slaughtered, now the one's Lashem, the other Sayer, then we do that one Keneged Beishchitas, the opposite, the place of where it's slaughtered. Now, what was that in reference to? There were two halachas mentioned by the Sir Azazel, one of tying the red string where it's tied, and one of where you're facing it to. Now, in reference to the other sire, what did we mean that it's done keneged b'shechitase? Did we mean akshirakoi, regarding the tying of the red string, that in contrast to the sar lazazel, where you tie the red string on its head, on this one, we said that we're tying it where it's slaughtered, which is on its neck. Oy ahamadakoi, or is it talking about a totally different, the second area of halacha that it mentioned, regarding where it's being placed, and that is the sire hachatas, that is going to be slaughtered, there you face it opposite the area where it's going to be slaughtered, in contrast to the Sar Lazazel, where it faces where it's going to be sent out from. So what area of halacha was it saying is the other one, the Nishchat, that it's Keneged B'Shechitasei? Keneged B'Shechitasei of its neck, that's where you put the string, or it's being faced to the place of B'Shechitasei where it's going to be slaughtered. So the Gemara says, Toshim HaKama here, the Tanya of Yisuf, because the Yisuf taught a Braisa, that says, Kasha Lashon Shel Zahiris, that he would tie the thread of the red wool b'reish se'ir hamashtelech on the head of the he-goat that was sent away, the hamidah keneged b'shilucha, and again it was placed opposite the place where it's going to be sent out of from, so that's so far the same as our Mishnah. V'le'nishchat keneged b'shchitase, and it says the same as our Mishnah, that the one that was slaughtered was opposite the place where it's going to be slaughtered, and here it says the reasoning, which from that we can infer what the understanding of the statement is. Now the reason why we do this is sh'lo yis'arv zeh b'zeh, that the two se'irim should not get mixed up because they were identical in all different facets. So therefore, the reason why we do this is that they shouldn't get mixed up. And that they shouldn't get mixed up with any other animals that are in the area. Now that the Gemara says that, if you say that when we said that the one that's being slaughtered, you do it keneged b'shechitase, it means regarding tying the red string around it, that it's done around its neck where it's slaughtered. So shaprit, that would make sense, the brisa that Rav Yosef is bringing, that because now none of them are going to get mixed up. Because this one, the sarer lazazel, is tied on its head, and the one Lashem is tied on its neck. And they're also not going to get mixed up with other ones, because these have red strings tied on them, and other ones have no strings tied on them at all. So that would make sense if you're saying it's going on the tying of the red string. Eli Amrit, but if you say, when we said Vila Nishchat, that it's done Keneged B'Shechitase, is HaMadukoi, is regarding where it's being placed, and that would have to explain that it was only regarding the tying of the red string on the Sar Meshtaleach, where we're saying that it shouldn't get mixed up with the one Lashem and with other ones. But that would be difficult because Nehid B'Chavri Lema'arv. So yes, the Sar Meshtaleach is not going to get mixed up with the Sar HaPnimi, because the Sar HaPnimi doesn't have a red string, as we're saying that it's only being faced Keneged B'Shechitase, and the only one that has it is the Sar Lazazel. So yes, not going to get mixed up with each other, because the high kotrbe, the high lekotrbe, sar lazazel has one tied onto it. Sar lashem doesn't, but beachrinim is miarv. But the sar hapanimi, the sar lashem, is going to get mixed up with the other serum, because they all are not going to have things tied, red strings tied onto them. The only one that has it is the sar lazazel, and then the sar lashem will get mixed up with the other ones. Therefore, we could infer from this brisa to understand what the statement of our Mishnah was saying was akshirikoi, that must be going on the tying of the red string, that the one Lashem is tied on keneged b'shechitase, where it's slaughtered, which is on its neck, because that would be the only way where now neither one is going to get mixed up. From there we could infer that the statement of our Mishnah was going on the tying of the red string, that is done keneged b'shechitase, where it's slaughtered on its neck. Now the Gemara continues on this halacha of the Lashon Shel Zahiris, of the thread of the red wool. So Amar Bitzchak said the following statement. Shtei Shaina Shemati says, I heard a halacha regarding two threads of red wool, that there's a difference between them. And that is, I heard about the achashal paru, the red string of the paraduma, where it says in the pasuk b'amid b'yur test, v'loka chakoyin eitz erez ve'ezoib ushni tolos, and a thread of red wool. The achashal seir hamashtelech, and I also heard about the string of red wool from the sar that sent away, the one that we were just speaking about in our Mishnah. And he says, now, achas tzrich hashir, one of these threads of red wool needs a certain minimum amount, and the Gemara later on will explain what that amount is. The achas in the tzricha shir, and one of them does not need a requisite amount. And that is, no matter how small it is, it will fulfill the chiyuv of being the red string. But v'leidana haimanai, I don't know which one has to have the paraduma or the sermesh telechem, which one doesn't have to have a requisite shir. So Amar Rav Yisa says, nechzeh nan, let's figure it out. So let's see. Shal si'ir hamishtalech debay chaluka, the sar that's sent away, ultimately it has to be split in half. As the Mishnah later on tells us in the Asam Chazayin and Aleph, that what would the one who is sending the sar off the cliff do? He would split the red thread in half. Half he would tie onto a rock. Half he would tie on its horns. And then he would send it off down the cliff. So therefore, Ba'yishir, obviously there has to be a minimum amount, because it has to be enough that you could cut it in half. B'shalpara deloy ba'yichaluk, however, by the paradigma we don't find that it has to be cut in half. Loy Ba'yishir, that must be the one that doesn't need the requisite amount, because there's no need to split it up, and therefore that, based on this logic, we should be able to answer which one needs the shear, which one's not. However, Maskevla Rami Bachama, he asked, but the parinami ba'yikavid, however, it would seem that the paradigma also should require a shear, not just the sar la'zazel, because there's a different halacha related to the paradigma that it has to have weight to it. And because it has to fall into the fire itself, as the pasuk tells us, you have to be able to throw it el teich srevis hapara. So therefore, it has to be able to carry, because if it has no weight, it's not going to reach. It's not going to go into the middle of the fire, and therefore it has to have weight. So it should be the one that requires the shear. How can you say that it's the one that doesn't require the shear? So my Rava responded by saying, "Kovet tanoihi." If the paradigma requires weight, is a machlokes tanoim, which the Gemara later on is going to quote. And therefore we could say that he was going like the one who says that it doesn't require any weight. And that's why when he was had this halacha that he said, one requires shir and one doesn't, the one of sar hamishtalech definitely requires, because it has to be split in half. The one of paraduma, he could be going like the one who says it doesn't require weight, and therefore that's the one that doesn't need a shir. But now the Gemara asks, so fine, the paraduma doesn't need weight possibly. But with the par lebay chaluka, are you telling me the paraduma doesn't need to be cut up in half just like the one of the sar mishtaleach, and therefore you're saying it doesn't require a shear? But Esvi Abaya asked, by quoting a Mishnah Masechtas Para in the third parak in the 11th Mishnah, the Mishnah tells us, Ketzer hu aysa. How does the kayin who's burning the paraduma to create the ashes, how does he do it? So part of the process is that Kerchen, he wraps the eight eras, the cedar wood, with the azov, this type of this herb, he wraps them together, b'shiyari lashon, with the leftovers of the red thread. Now, from the fact that it uses the term leftover, obviously, that there's more of it, and that means it was cut in half. And therefore, if it's being cut in half, it must be that there must have a certain minimum share that it could be cut in half, and there should be enough to wrap around the rest. So how can you say that that doesn't need chalukah, and therefore doesn't need a share? Now the Gemara says, Ema, don't say that there was remnants, but rather this that used the term shiyari lashon, it really means biznav lashon. It means the tail of the red thread. And that is because the red thread was combed with a comb, and therefore when one combs, the threads at the edge become narrow. So that's like shiyari, it's like the remnants of the rest of the thread, which it becomes like a tail. Therefore, that's what it meant when it said shiyari lashon, not because it was cut in half and we're using the leftovers, rather because when it's combed, the remainders at the edge is what we're saying it would be wrapped with. So now, related to this, the Gemara says, Amr b'chan amr rav. He says, Eitz erez ushni telas, regarding the cedar wood and the red thread, shall kol tosin shal heves, that the flame has caught onto it. In other words, it had burnt it before it even got into the fire that the paraduma is burning in, rather in the ear space. The fire already burnt it in the ear. So in that, Rav says, k'sher, it's still going to be valid. And again, the Gemara is introducing this because it's obviously related to the discussion we just had before regarding if the paraduma, if it requires that the shni telas, has to get inside the fire. So that the Gemara asks, Mesebe, we asked from a braisa, it says in this hav halashin, if the red thread got caught on fire, in other words, from the flickering of the flames, not into the fire itself on top, then maybe Loshen Acher Mekadesh, you have to bring another red thread and then sanctify it, which really means to put it into the fire, because as Rashi explains, all the actions related to the Paraduma are called Kiddush, so it means Mekadesh, meaning then you have to bring a new one to put in the fire. But what we see is that if it did get singed and burnt before it got into the fire, then you're not Yetzi, you have to bring a new one. So how could Rav Chanan say in the name of Rav that one has fulfilled the Schiv in that case? So Mabayabai says Loi Kasha. It's not a difficulty, because Khan, the Brice is talking about Bekailachas, a huge fire that has a large flame going up. And that's why I use the term kalachas, which is like the stalk of a large grass, which means it goes all the way up. Then you have to bring another red thread, because then it didn't get anywhere near the fire itself. It was going high up, flickering the flames. That didn't consider as if it came al teich sreifa sapara, and therefore you have to bring a new one. Khan, Rav Chanan, in the name of Rab that said it's kosher, he was talking about benechfefes. We're talking about like a narrow, crouching fire, which is low down on the ground, therefore, which would mean it's close down to the coals that are creating the fire. Therefore, even if it gets burnt on the top before it gets in, that would still be considered el toich, because it's very close over there. And that's what Rav Chanan was saying in the name of Rab, and therefore it's not a difficulty from the Braisa. That's one answer the Gemara gives. Rava gives another approach to answer the question. He says, as was mentioned before in the Gemara, Kovid Tanoihi. This concept, if the red thread needs weight, is a machlokes tanoim. The time like we learned the Braisa. Loma karchen. Why is it being wrapped? So this machlokes tanoim, why did we wrap the eight eras and the Ezev with the red thread? So one opinion says, Kadeshiyu kulam agudachas, that they should be in one bundle. Divi Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. And therefore that's the same as Rav Chanan, the name of Rav, that you don't do it so that it should have weight. That's not the reason why you're doing it, to fall inside. And therefore, that's like Rav, who says that even if it gets burnt on top, one has fulfilled it. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimonheimer, he says, no, the reason why you do that is Kadesh and Mekovid, that now the red thread will carry together because it's a large bundle that's tied together. The Yip will take Strevis apart and it'll fall into the burning of the fire, the Paraduma, and that is like the Braisa, who the Braisa said that it has to be able to carry and go inside, and if it gets burned on top, it won't be Yitzah. It's not a question on Rav, because it's a machlokes tanaim, and Rav would be going like the other Tana who said otherwise. So again, the Gemara said two answers, either because depending on how high the fire is, if it's getting burnt on the top, if that's considered al-teich or not, or it happens to be machlokes tanaim, this machlokes Rav in the Braisa, if it has to carry inside or if it doesn't have to. Now, related to this discussion that Reb Yitzchak said before, that he spoke about these two threads that he heard about, the Paraduma and the Sar Mishtaleach, which we said that the Paraduma is the one that does not require a shear, because it does not have to be cut in half. And it also, at least according to one opinion, does not need weight to carry inside, whereas the Sar Mishtaleach has to be cut in half. Ki Asar Avdimi, Amar B'Yechanan, he said, Sholish L'Shein Neshamati. I heard a differentiation in Halacha regarding three different threads of red wool. Achas shel para, one regarding the paraduma that we had mentioned. V'achas shel seram shtaleach, one regarding the seram that sent away that we had also mentioned in our Mishnah. V'achas shel mitzayra, then the third one of the mitzayra, who it also says over there that he requires a shnit terlas ve'ezav, he requires a thread of red wool. Now, in these halachas, I heard achas mishkal asar zuz, one has to have a weight of 10 zuz. V'achas mishkal shnei selam, one has to have a weight of 2 sela. V'achas mishkal shekel, one has to have a weight of a shekel. V'ein lefarash, and I don't know how to differentiate which one is the one that needs the largest shear, which one's the smallest, and which one requires the intermediary shear. However, ki yasa Ravan, and Ravan came, pirsha mishmeid Rabbi Yonasan, they explained the name of Rabbi Yonasan as follows. And then we continue on top of him in Bezam and Aleph. And that is shal para. He said the one of the paraduma is the one that requires mishkal asar zuz. That has to have the weight of 10 zuz, because it has to have weightiness, as we said, because it has to be able to carry, at least according to one man d'amar, to go ahead and fall inside al teich strevis apar. Bishal siram shtaleach, he said mishkal shnei selam. The one of the sar that's sent away, it only has to have a weight of 2 sela, because all it needs is that to be split in half, and therefore a weight of 2 sela is enough that it can be split in half. And the one of the mitzvah, which doesn't require weight to fall into any fire, and it doesn't require to be split in half. So that one's enough with a mishkal shekel, with the weight of a shekel. However, the Gemara continues with another machlekes, again related to this topic. Amar B'Yechanan, he says, Pligi bar Reb Shimon ben Chalafta of Rabban and Bepara. These two argue regarding the Para Aduma, and that is Chad Amar Mishkal Asar. One says, as the Gemara just said before, that yes, it requires a weight of 10. The Chadam and Mishkol Shek, however, once said that the Paraduma actually is the one that requires the smallest amount. Not as what the Gemara said before of the largest amount of Asar Zuz. Rather, it only requires the weight of a shekel. And now the Gemara says, B'samanayich, and a mnemonic to remember that one should not make an error and say that one of these two opinions of Rabbi Shimon Chalafta and Rabbanan had said the Beinani Shir, the one of two Slaim. The way to remember this is the following Mishnah will remind you, it's a Mishnah Masechtas Menachos that says, Echad Amarba v'Echad Amamet. Whether one increases or whether one brings a little bit, the halacha says Lubavachi Chavan Lib L'Shamayim, as long as your intention is for the sanctity, for the glory of heaven, then no matter how great your carbon is or how small it is, one will have fulfilled his chiyuv. Now, with this mnemonic, however, although it's talking about something totally different, one could remember that Echad Hamarba, that one gave the largest share of 10 zuz, and Echad Amamet, one gave the smallest share of just a shekel. However, none of these two opinions mention that the weight of the paraduma, red thread, should be the middle shear of Shnei Salon. That's a way to remember that. However, on this, Amalei Rav Yirmiyah Medifta L'Ravina, Rav Yirmiyah Medifta said to Ravina, he argued, he says, no. Loi bepara, not regarding the thread, the red thread of the paraduma pligi, is it that Rav Shimon Chalafta and Rabban argued on. El b'seir ha-mishtaleach pligi. Rather, what they argued about was regarding the weight of the seir ha-mishtaleach. And to prove that, because of a hahu yom, and that day that they had argued about what is the weight of seir ha-mishtaleach, noch nafshei de Rav Yehuda bar Kisi. That was the same day that Rav Yehuda bar Kisi passed away. V'antcha b'simon, and they actually made a mnemonic to remember what it was that they were arguing about, which was regarding the red thread, that it was with the seir ha-mishtaleach, and they said the following mnemonic. Rav Yehuda bar Kisi, who had passed away that day, that they were arguing about it, mechaper k'seir ha-mishtaleach, he provides atonement with his death, like the Seir HaMishtaleach, which what that means is, like a Gemara Moed Katan says, that the death of righteous people creates an atonement. And as the Gemara there says, that why is it that the death of Aaron HaKohen was said near the parasha of the garments of the Kohuna? To tell you, just like the Bigdei Kohuna provide atonement, as the Gemara explains elsewhere, what each garment does, so too the death of the righteous provides an atonement. However, but that was the proof to say that this is what they were arguing about. Not to argue about paraduma, if it was 10 zuz or 1 shekel, but rather that machlokes was regarding the seir ha-mishtaleach, regarding its weight, and that's why they used that as a simon with his death to say that it provides atonement, like the seir ha-mishtaleach, which provides atonement.